words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. For the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, since I have the children with us this morning, I want to ask a few questions of the children. So, children, I'm talking to you. Adults, I'm going to ask you to not respond right now. Of course, this may help you later if you listen to what the kids have to say. So, children, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, which parable was Jesus teaching? We just read the gospel. Which parable was it? I see a hand. The parable of the sower. Right. So you were listening. Very good. Now, in the parable of the sower, there were four kinds of soil. How many kids know what the different kinds of soil were? Ellie? Well, name one. The path. Come on, somebody else. You already had your hand up, Justin. Let's see if anybody else is brave enough to answer. The rocky soil. So we've got the path and the rocky soil. Ashlyn? The one with thorns. And what's the last one? I heard Betty say the good soil. She's also one of our children. Thank you, Betty. Now, Justin, I've got a question for you since you were eager. Why is the good soil good? What makes that soil good? It's rich, it allows the plants to grow. And what was the last thing you said? That's right, without it, the plants will be hurt and destroyed. That was really good. Now, I'm going to encourage the children to continue to listen. This is about listening. Jesus said at the end of the first part of the parable, "He who has ears, let him hear." So I'm going to encourage the kids to continue to listen. But they can also work on their clipboard pages as well. And if you didn't get a clipboard, children, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers, just keep your hand up if you want a clipboard. If there are adults that want clipboards, we can get you one too. The ushers will bring them to you. Now, as we're looking at this parable, I know that you all have heard this idiom before. Familiarity breeds contempt. And I believe that idiom relates to our gospel reading. So familiarity breeds contempt. Extensive knowledge of someone or something can lead to a loss of respect for them or for it. This happens frequently with people. The better you get to know people, perhaps the less you respect them because you know more about them or about a topic. For many of you, this is a familiar passage. You've heard it read, you've heard it preached on many times. If this is new to you, I encourage you to listen. But especially if this is familiar, I want to encourage you and challenge you to keep your minds open, not to jump to conclusions. I pray you're open to the Lord's voice and open to His Holy Spirit as they teach and convict you as we dig into this familiar parable. Now, this is a parable about sowing seed and about receiving seed. It's about proclaiming and listening. So, echoing Jesus' words, all who have ears, let them hear. So, today we're going to have essentially 5 points. We're going to talk about one seed and 4 heart conditions. One seed and 4 heart conditions. Now, first, the seed. In this parable, the sower is sowing seed. And I want you to take a look at verse 8. If you have your Bibles open, go ahead and turn them. Somebody tell me what page we're on. 818. You're going to follow along. I'm not going to have slides from our parable. I'll have slides that are outside of the parable. So 818. But take a look at verse 8. What kind of seed is offered here? It tells us what kind of seed we're dealing with. Anybody see that? grain, I heard. That's right. So he's sowing seed, and he recognizes as the fruit grain. It means there's one kind of seed. There aren't multiple seeds, but one seed. And in this parable, what do we learn that this seed represents? In verse 19, it tells us. What does the seed represent? The word of the kingdom, right, which is said many different ways through the Gospels. The word of the kingdom, the word of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. So there's one seed being sown, and that is the good news in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that through repentance and faith in Jesus' name alone, our forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And that's offered to every man and every woman who would open their hearts and put their faith in Jesus. The fact that there's one seed is very crucial to understand, especially in our culture, which wants to say there are many ways. There isn't just one way to God. There is one seed, there is one gospel, there is one good news, and there is one Savior. Jesus himself declared in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. If you could put up the next slide, please. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus also said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I am the way, Jesus declared. There is one seed. There is one gospel. There is one Savior. Now to the four different heart conditions. And since this is about listening, you may be expecting me to talk about hearing conditions or maybe mind conditions rather than heart conditions. But you'll see that this parable addresses your concerns and that ultimately truly receiving the seed will involve ears, it will involve mind, it will involve also heart and soul. And I pray that you each will have ears to hear this morning, because each of you have a heart and a soul, and one of these four heart conditions applies to you. It's easy to think, well, we're in the church, so we're all good soil. It's not true of me, not true of you. We've got mixed soil here today. So listen and let the Spirit of God through his word reveal your heart condition. So what was the first soil? Question to you? The path, thank you. What are the characteristics of the path? Why is it the path? It's where everybody's going. It's hard. It's trampled down. It's not permeable. It's rock hard. This is the condition of the heart that doesn't receive the seed at all. It's closed to the good news of Jesus Christ. Words are heard, but they bounce off or they just stay on the surface. Kind of like when the waiter or waitress comes to your table and you're hungry. They tell you what their name is, but you really don't care. You can't remember what they said. Their lips are moving, but you're thinking, be quiet so I can order. There's hearing, but it does not get in. The word of God, the good news in Jesus Christ, is heard, but stays on the surface, and ultimately the enemy, we read, takes it away. Never to be remembered, never to be recalled. This is a heart that's hard and closed. So what's the second soil? The rocky soil. Now I'm guessing you're picturing what I've always pictured, what looks like a rock garden. Lots of rocks with plants springing up between the rocks. But as I did a little bit more reading, This is what I've come to believe, and this is what other scholars believe, and what Jesus was referring to. That in the Middle East, there are areas where literally it's solid rock with just a few inches of soil on the surface. So you've got soil that receives the seed, but there's only a few inches there to hold moisture, and when the scorching sun comes out quickly with the rock underneath it, it bakes away. It's rock hard just below the surface. Have you ever tried to bite into a frozen Snickers? It's kind of like that. You bite in and you're able to get your teeth through the chocolate on the outside, but unless you're willing to break a tooth, the caramel is rock hard, right? I'm sorry if I'm making you hungry. But that's what it's like. The outside surface is receptive. The soil receives the seed. The good news of redemption and salvation is heard and received, but it's not able to take root because of the hardness, the rock hard nature of the heart. The gospel we read is received with joy at the end of verse 20. And then in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise, immediately he falls away. They endure for a while, but have no root within themselves, and in the heat of the day, in the heat of life, trouble and persecution, the gospel withers away and dies. So here the gospel's received, it's heard, but the heart stays hard. There's no change. The gospel doesn't take root. The plant dies, and there's nothing left. There's no chance of fruit.
Instant gratification, and when the good feelings are gone.
Instant gratification, but when those feelings are gone, when life moves on, that's right, it's gone. So what's the third soil? Thorny soil. Well, it's not thorny at first, because we read the thorns grow up with the plant. This is soil that looks good, and it hears and it receives the seed. Roots are able to grow and grow deep. There's healthy signs of life. There's potential for fruit, but then the thorns grow up. So they weren't there at first. There's a time when things look good, when the message is received. But then the thorny plants that weren't seen before sprout up. So what are the thorns that we read in verse 22? The cares of the world, the devil, but the cares of the world, and the second part is the deceitfulness of riches. Or another version says the anxiety of the world and the seduction of riches. The cares of this world grow up beside the gospel, and they choke it. They choke the gospel plant in these hearts. Too many distractions, too many anxieties, too many other things perhaps to do and to focus on. And the word proves unfruitful, Matthew says. They choke the word and the word, and it proves unfruitful. The gospel grew in this heart, but yet there was no fruit. It took root in this heart, but there was no fruit. Listen to Luke's account of this same verse in Jesus' teaching of the thorns. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So there's the path, the rocky soil, the thorny soil. What's the fourth soil? The good soil. And I loved how Justin described it. But I'll ask you again, what are characteristics of good soil in comparison with the other soils?
It's nurturing.
It's nurturing. Compare it to the path. Good soil would be soft, receptive. Compare it to the rocky soil just below the surface. Is it shallow? It's going to be deep. There aren't going to be thorny plants in the good soil. As with all of the soil mentioned, there's hearing. There was hearing on the path. There was hearing in the rocky soil. And there was hearing in the thorny soil. But it's noted in verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. There's hearing and there's understanding. On the path in verse 19, looking back, we read, they hear the word of the kingdom and do not understand it. So here we have hearing and understanding. The seed is into good soil. The seed of the gospel, God's kingdom word, is received and nurtured and it grows. The right conditions are there, with water, with nutrients, with sunlight. And it matures, and then it bears fruit. And this fruit is remarkable. I can take for granted, yep, yields 100-fold, another 60, another 30. In the first century Middle East, a very successful crop would yield 5-fold. 10-fold would be amazing. Yet Jesus starts at the lowest denominator with 30. This isn't fruit that's born of our efforts or of our abilities, but it's God's power that yields this fruit through us. And it's supernaturally amazing fruit. God's word nurtured and matured and discipled in a good soil heart. To all who have ears, let them hear. So the obvious question before me as I prepared and now before you is, what's the condition of your heart today? Is it good soil nurturing? Is it hard? Is it receptive but choked out by the cares and anxieties and deceitfulness of wealth? It's important to understand that just because you may have faith in Jesus Christ, the soil will not always be good, because there are seasons when your heart will turn hard. I know that's true of me. There are seasons when the weeds that weren't there before are suddenly growing up and choking faith or choking hope or choking life. And there are also seasons where God's word matures and you see fruit being born, Luke says, with patience. Heard A.W. Tozer, so this is back in the 40s and 50s, and he said, people want the word to sprout fruit like rockets. I thought, boy, his vision of rockets and ours are very different. But that's not. It's fruit born with patience. But there are seasons. If you've never received God's word in your heart, if it's rock hard, you need the Lord to plow your soil in your heart. You need him to break through, and you need to be willing to ask him to do that. You need to be open to his work to bring change. If your heart is hard today, you may have been walking with Christ for a long time, but your heart has turned hard. I invite you to welcome the Lord, to break through the hardness and the bitterness and the resentment and the anxieties and the distractions, and to cultivate your heart back into good soil. But you must choose to let him. He's a gentleman. He wants to heal, revive, and restore you, but you must let him. What is the condition of your heart today? Is it hard? Is it thorny and distracted and being choked? Or is it good soil yielding fruit? My final word to you today returns to the image of healthy, fruit-bearing plants. Now, what do healthy plants that bear fruit also bear?
Nutrition,
but?
Seeds.
Thank you, seeds. Seeds come from healthy plants. There's more seed. Many of you are in positions of good soil in your heart, and you're bearing fruit, and there's seed, and you have a choice of what to do with that seed. You can keep it, or you can sow it. We are all sowers if we are followers of Jesus. You have to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. That's right. Jesus said at the end of Matthew, to everyone, go and make disciples, proclaim the gospel. So, healthy soil will bear seed. You have the opportunity to hold on to it or bear fruit, and it all comes back to listening. Not just with ears, but with hearts. Are you open to and listening for actively God's voice throughout your day? Or are you closed or hard or distracted or choked to God's voice? A.W. Tozer, he famously said, you can only respond rightly if you hear rightly. You can only respond rightly if you hear rightly. Are you hearing God's conviction to change? Are you hearing God's request to break through that rock, that hardness, and to bring healing? I'm no different from you. I need you to know that. At different times in my own life, I've been hard-hearted toward God's voice or towards others. I can be distracted and choked by anxieties and priorities that I'm unwilling to submit to the Lord and allow Him to speak into. So I hold on to them, and I know it affects how I hear. A week or so ago, I took, as I'm leaning into this listening process that our church is involved in, and as I was reflecting on this passage, I took a few hours in two consecutive days to be quiet before the Lord, to try to quiet down and allow Him to work in my heart. And as I was in the midst of that time, I went for a run. And you've heard me talk about when I run, sometimes I'll stop and talk and pray with homeless people, mainly men. Well, this day, and as I look back for the last few months, I've avoided some of the normal benches that I'd stop at because, in essence, I've started judging those hard hearts, what seems like hard hearts. Does it do any good? I don't have quite as much time today. I don't want to stop and just talk to them. Does my praying do any good? The Lord brought that to mind as I was running, and He convicted me. Who are you to judge the soil? Does the sower care? No, he's just excited to sow. It's God's work to bear the fruit, to grow the plants. And so as I continued on my run, I tried to keep my eyes open. And I had one conversation with one gentleman and didn't really go anywhere in another, but as I rounded the bend, I was towards the end of my run, coming back to the Y, there was a man with his back towards me on a bench. And as I ran by, I just said, good morning, as I ran by, and he looked up and he made eye contact with me, and he just waved. And I knew I had to stop. His name was Rick. And I came over and I just told Rick, while I run, I pray. Is there anything I can pray for you today? He said, I know who Jesus is. And he immediately took his shirt off. He had to be 70, long beard, to show me the tattoo on his back of Jesus on the cross. I know who Jesus is. But then he put his shirt back on. He said, but I am so lonely. All my family is dead and gone, and I have cancer, and I'm alone. And here I am sitting with him, the privilege. And so I prayed for him, reminding him that if you know Jesus, you're not ever alone. And I prayed with him, and when I left, he wouldn't let go of my hand. As he shook it, he said, thank you for stopping. My heart had become hard and I wasn't open. It's when we're open to God's prompting. Remember, I stopped and talked with one or two other guys and they went nowhere. But God can and he will speak. And he will bring kingdom fruit. You can only respond rightly if you hear rightly. All who have ears, let them hear. And that's my prayer for this season at Redeemer. That we will together be cultivated by God's healing hand into good soil. That we will bear fruit to maturity on his magnitude, not on ours. And that we will willingly participate with God and proclaim his good news. Distribute his seed to the lives and the hearts around us. For the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So now in response to God's word, we have the opportunity to affirm our faith in the historic words of the creeds. I invite you to stand.